It's quite an interesting title for my message this morning. I don't normally worry too much about the title. It's the substance that's important. But my message this morning is called, Where's My Fork? And so I want you to listen very carefully this morning, and because some of you don't know where your fork is. And I trust this morning, by the end of today, you'll know where your fork is. Let's just watch this clip this morning before we open the Word together.
I don't know.
You don't know?
My fork.
Where's your fork?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Right over there.
Where's your fork?
I don't know.
Right there.
I don't know.
Where's your fork?
I don't know.
It's right there in your hand.
I don't know.
Your hand.
Look in your hand, baby.
A cheese.
Where's your fork?
I don't know. Mama.
What?
My white fork.
I see it in your hand. It's in your hand.
Right there. I find them.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we just pray, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, and that you challenge us and change us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love that clip. I must admit, I've watched that about 100 times. I just think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But there's a real powerful message in that, which I really want to share out of this morning about where's my fork. Because I come across a lot of people and who struggle in the things in life. And people who don't know that they've got a fork. Some people who don't have a fork, actually. But some people who really struggle, but they've actually got the fork there. They cry out and say, why isn't this happening? Why is this happening? What's wrong with this? Or why can't I have this? Why can't I do this? Where's my courage? Where's my strength? And they don't realize that they've actually got the fork in their hand. And so I want to talk about that this morning. Jesus has called us. He's invited us to come into an abundant life with him, into a relationship that is full and fulfilling and given us a purpose, a destiny in life. And he wants us to walk in that. But so many of us are still waiting for God to do something. Say, God, do something. When God does this, then everything will change. When that happens, then everything will be better. And God is really saying to us, just have a look at your hand this morning. When we know the story of Moses, and Moses, as we know, was one that his mother desperately wanted this child. She had this child, Moses. There was an edict in Egypt that they were going to kill all the boys because there was too many Israelites breeding within Egypt. They were the slaves there, but just too many of them. And so she's the one that put a child in the basket who went down the Nile River. The princess came and saw this little baby, took this little baby in, adopted him as her own, and raised Moses up. But Moses still, despite growing up in a palace and having all of the education and everything else, was a very insecure person. He was insecure. He lacked courage. He was full of doubt. He was afraid of speaking to people, large groups of people, any groups of people, not confident at all in terms of his speech. And when God encounters Moses and calls Moses, he says, you're going to be the one who's going to deliver my people. Moses immediately comes up with a whole bunch of reasons why. He says, look, you know, well, who are you, first of all, and who am I? And they're not going to believe me, and a whole lot of stuff. And God just says to Moses, what's that in your hand, Moses? In Exodus chapter 4, he says, what's in your hand? He said, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? What's that in your hand? And I believe the Lord will say to us this morning, what's in your hand? Because we're all like that little one saying, Lord, where is it? Lord, I can't do it. It's too hard and whatever. But the Lord will say this morning, look, where's your fork? Look in your hand. And that's just a wonderful little illustration of that child who's just holding that, can't find his fork. I mean, some of you, I've never done this. I haven't done this. But I know there's people who wear glasses that spend hours trying to find their glasses. In fact, I know my father did that once, couldn't find them anywhere. And he was wearing them the whole time and finally found them on his face. And some people do that. I've never done that. Maybe give me another 20, 30 years, I might end up doing that. I don't know. But some of us are still looking for things that we actually already have, that we're already holding, that we're already possessing. And I believe God wants to remind us of those things this morning. And that you are actually holding within your hands the things that are needed in the circumstances and situations of your life, the things where you feel that you can't cope or you're overwhelmed or just doesn't seem to be working for you. You're actually holding that in your hand. But we spend a lot of time saying, I don't know. I don't know, God, I don't know. Why won't you help me, Lord? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. As a little boy got a little bit stroppy, didn't he? And we can be just like that. But I believe the Lord wants to tell us this morning that we've got some very important things that God has placed within our hand. And certainly the most important thing that he has, so that we actually hold within our hand the very things that we need. The beautiful passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Or another translation, everything for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It says, through his divine power, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, or for a godly life. He's already given it to us, but a lot of us are there. We're going, I don't know. I don't know. Still waiting for God to do something to happen. But yet God has put something so precious and so powerful within our heart. And what God has done is actually placed his very spirit within us. When we become a Christian, yes, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We accept that he died in place for our sin, was punished so that we don't have to get punished for what we have done. He took that upon himself. And so when we become a Christian, the rubbish and junk of our life, we say, Lord, here it is. And his blood, he just washes all the junk off us, and he gives us his holiness in exchange for the rubbish of our lives. And we all know that's true, that without Christ, that we are full of sin, and doesn't matter how good we try to be, we're never good enough, and we never can be good enough for God's standard. And so when we become a Christian, he washes us clean. He gives us the promise of eternal life, that we'll live with him forever, as we've already heard and spoken about this morning. But also that he places within us his spirit. We become born again. We're born of the spirit. And so, and the Bible uses different terminology, the spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Lord dwells within us. And so we have the power of God dwelling within our heart and within our life. And yet some of us forget that at times. We become overwhelmed, we become discouraged and distressed and feel like it's just too hard and I can't do this anymore and whatever is the pressures, all of the things. But we forget that we have the Holy Spirit living within our heart. And the scripture talks then about a subsequent experience, about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll see there where they're saying that they're asked by the disciples, did you receive... Were you filled with the Holy Spirit? And they go, when you believe, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And there's a subsequent infilling, a baptism in the Holy Spirit, which was a power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, coming upon us in a way that clothes us. The scripture describes it as being clothed with power from on high. And so when you're born again, we have the Spirit of Christ within us. But then there's that subsequent experience where you're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have the evidence of praying in tongues and able to worship the Lord in that heavenly language that we have. But we have this spiritual powerhouse invested within us, right within our hearts, the power of God within us. And yet so often we're there and where's my fork? Where is it? Lord, where is it? And we're looking around and the Lord says, I've placed within you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within your life, and yet we're looking all around. But the Lord says, no, I've invested myself, my very self, within you. What a wonderful, powerful thing that is. It says in Ephesians 1, 18 to 20. And there's that little boy that we saw there just couldn't see, even though it's staring him right in the face. He just couldn't see. He had fork blindness. Now, most of us men, we have domestic blindness. Where's the keys? They're in front of you. Oh, yeah, okay, we're men. It happens to us. But some of us have that spiritual blindness that we've got the power of God within our life, and yet we can't see it. We're looking all around. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so your eyes will be opened, so you can actually see, that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Now that's pretty awesome, that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is what is actually residing within our heart and our life for those that have called upon the name of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is that same power that is within us. We have the power of God within us. It's not our own human strength. It's not our own will and determination. It's the power of the living God. Because we know that our own will and our own determination, we can grit our teeth and try to push through and push through. But in the end, we're going to hit a wall that we cannot get through. We're going to whack our head and it might just knock us out. If we try to keep pushing through with our own human determination. But if we have the power of the Spirit of God within our heart and within our life, and with his strength and with his power, with his energy, when we come to that wall, we're just going to go straight through the wall. We won't knock ourselves out and we won't get stuck in the sameness of our situation. But a lot of us, we've got it. We've got the power, but we're still looking and saying, Lord, where is it? Where's the answer? And God has placed it within us. When our courage is failing and we're looking for someone to encourage us, we're looking for someone to do something. And he says, I've done everything. I died on the cross and I invested myself within you. What an amazing thing. We've got the Lord's power in our life. And so we have the power of the Holy Spirit within our life. And really, what is that for? What's the purpose of that? We're already related to God in eternity because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the power of God that is resident and living within us is so that we may fulfill the very purpose for which we were created. Every one of us, we want to make a difference in this world. But more than making a difference in this world, I want to be one that makes a difference in eternity. That my life that I live leaves an imprint, not just upon this world and maybe in a generation I'm forgotten, but if we are working and leading people to Christ and we are investing things of eternal value into people's hearts, it's something that we make a difference forever. And it's like, really, that's what's really like in the bowl for us. It's all that God has for us, the very things that God has determined and destined and purposed for us. But a lot of us are staring at the bowl and saying, gee, I'd like to have that. I really would love to walk in that blessing or that fulfillment. I'd love to be able to partake of that. I want that for my life because there's a hunger and there's a longing and there's an emptiness within my own heart and how much I wish I could have that. But once we come to Christ, you've got the fork, you've got the ability, you've got the mechanism, which is the power of the Spirit of God in our life, that we can partake of everything that he has, that rich inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. We're able to do that because of what we have within us. We have a destiny, every one of us. Each of us has an important destiny to fulfill. A lot of us stare in the bowl and think, I can't do that. It's too hard. I don't have the ability to reach that. But if we know Jesus Christ, we have. Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's handiwork. God fashioned us. He crafted us. He handmade us. He delighted in doing that. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And so there's your own bowl there. Your bowl's not the same bowl as mine. The good works, the things that God wanted you to do, to accomplish, which have eternal impact, he has that for you. He's made it for you. It's the bowl's right there. Sometimes you look at other people's bowls, you say, gee, I'd like to have what they're eating. Gee, that looks really good. I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant and they've done that, and you think, oh, gee, I wonder what they got over there. That looks really good. But what's over in their plate is good for them, but what's in your plate is perfect for you. It's what God has, is what he's manufactured, made you for, what God created us for that very purpose, to walk in that and to be fulfilled in everything that God has for us. You're God's handiwork. And so there is all of that God has for us. And ultimately, God wants us to touch lives of other people that they may know that they have a destiny, that they have something in Jesus Christ. In Acts 1:8, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." See, having the power of God within us is not just that we have a full and great abundant life, but it's so that we might be ones that are witnesses for him, that we are examples of what it is to have a Christian life. It doesn't mean that everything goes rosy. Gee, everything's perfect for you. You never have a problem. I've never met anyone who's never had any problems. But if you've got the power of the Spirit of God, no problem is going to overcome you. No problem is going to destroy you. No brick wall is going to whack you and knock you in the head. You're going to go through if you've got the power of God resonant within your life. And it's so that we can be effective witnesses. And to be a witness, and it's not enough to say, I'm a good person. Gee, they look at me. Well, what comes out of our mouth? We need to tell people. We need to speak. We need to declare. We need to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. We need to let them know, hang on, there's a bowl for you. That there's your bowl, that there's your destiny, your purpose, the things that God has for you. It's there. And you need to be able to access that. And you're never going to access that without first coming to Christ and then be filled with his Spirit and then be able to walk in that abundant life that he has for us. But see, a lot of people that, one, there's some people, before you come to Christ, all you know is that you're hungry. All you know is that there's something within you that is missing. That's all you know. You know you're hungry. And you try to fill that. You try to fill that with education or for a job or a relationship or something. Trying to fill this hunger in us. But it is something that never will sustain. Something that will never fulfill. You know you're hungry, but you don't know how to actually fill that. But when you come to Christ, you got the fork. You get filled with the power of the Spirit of God. You now have the means to actually partake of everything that God has for your life. And only in that will you ever find fulfillment. Only in that will ever you find and meet the purpose and plan that God has for your life. And so some people are just ignorant. They don't know Jesus Christ, so they didn't, oh, why didn't someone tell me there's actually a fork I can get, there's actually a way that I can get a hold of what everything God has, the thing that is just for me, and then I can grab a hold of that. Wish someone would tell me that there was a way of doing that. And there's people that you know are thinking right now, gee, I wish someone would tell me. I wish so much that someone would tell me. And they want to know. They want to know because they're hungry. And they just can't satisfy that in any way that they try. And the only thing that can ever satisfy is our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are ignorant because they don't know Christ. Some people know Christ and they forget. And the scripture says at times, it says, I'm telling you these things. We write these things to remind you. And we do forget. I tell you, we forget. People forget all sorts of stuff. I forget stuff. I forget names of people sometimes. I forget things. We all forget stuff. But there's some critical fundamental things that we also can forget. The scripture says, I write these things down so you won't forget. And some of us have forgotten. Some of us forget. Hang on. Whoa, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit within my life. And I don't have to live like everyone else. Sure, I might have a hard time and I have some struggles and I have all the issues that other people face, but I don't have to go through them in the same way. I can go through with the power of the Holy Spirit, of the living God invested within my life. And yet some of us, we forget that we've got that and then we're trying to do it all in our own strength. And we're struggling with determination and will and whatever else. But in the end, we begin to flag. We begin to struggle. We begin to lose hope. We lose courage. We lose confidence. And because we've forgotten that we've actually got the power of the Spirit of God in our life. And for some of us, I believe God just is, this is a reminder today. Some maybe this is an item, wow, I can actually grab a hold of really the very things that I was purposed for. That's an amazing thing. Some of us just need reminding this morning that we actually have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and available to us. And I believe God wants to remind some of us here this morning that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is within us. And we're there going, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And he's saying, hang on, know this morning. Know the power of the living God within your life, that every challenge, every circumstance is there. But more than that, the fulfillment of your life is only as you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life. And only then are you really taking of what was really going to satisfy you, living the life that satisfies the soul. Some of us hold this And yet we're trying to do a whole lot of other stuff. We get caught up in everything else that the world will offer. And we say, well, I'm saved. Well, praise God, you are. But I'm still not satisfied. Why am I not satisfied? It's because you're trying to, you've already got everything you need, but then you're trying to feed yourself with a whole lot of stuff. The unworldly people, people don't even know God, try to do. And yet we're there, and we do have what it takes. We have the Holy Spirit within our life. And so God wants to remind us of those things. Sometimes some of us, we get a little bit weary. I don't know, I've seen other videos, and I don't want to show you a whole lot of cute baby videos. I like watching cute baby videos, but there's ones that, you know, that you see the little child there, they're sitting up in the high chair, and they're there, and the child's just, you know, falling asleep, and then, boom, the face is in the food. And there's plenty of good little videos of that, of sleepy babies trying to eat. But see, some of us become a little bit sleepy too, because we've been doing this for a while, and we've forgotten about the power of God in our life. And some people get a little bit weary. They start to get a little bit weary. At this time of the year, it's amazing how some people start to get a little bit weary, because it's cold and it gets dark early, and so some people can let things a little bit wane, and God doesn't want us to do that. The power of the Holy Spirit is always there. God's not dependent on the seasons that he created upon this earth. We've got the power of God in our life. We can get a little bit weary with things. It says in Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. Why is that written? Why did Paul write that for? Let us not become weary. He says, let us not become weary, because we can become weary. We can. And so we said, don't do that. It's possible. Any of us can come weary, because if suddenly we start walking in our own strength and we forget the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're going to start to become weary. And the Bible is telling us, Paul is reminding us in the scripture here, he's saying, don't get weary in doing good. Because there's probably two main problems that we have. Too hard, too hot, too cold, too busy, too difficult, too distracted. We make up every excuse in the book, and we allow other things to take over our life. And as we do that, we're going to find that we're struggling. You'll find that the very thing, see, remember what's in the bowl. It does bring fulfillment and happiness for you, but it's not just for you. It's that life will be shared with other people who don't know the hope that you have. The people that are hungry and starving in this world, there's people physically hungry and starving, we know that. But there's people that are hungry and spiritually starving. It's not just for ourselves, oh, I'm full now. Because what can happen with us is that we can become over full. And unfortunately, I see it in the body of Christ. Generally, we're people that they're hearing the word of God and they're feeding. Oh, this is great. Getting the word of God. Oh, this is good. And they're reading the Bible. Oh, this is good. This is good. And they're taking it all in. But I tell you that if you just keep taking in and you're never getting out, what happens? Well, this happens. I need to exercise more. Some of us need to exercise more physically. But spiritually is something that we all need to exercise a lot more. Because if you're sitting there and you're taking it in and you're taking it in, what happens is you become a little bit lethargic. And because I'm taking it in, but my input and my output don't match. I'm taking it in, but I'm not living it out and I'm not giving it out. And if I'm not living it and I'm not giving it, then I'm just going to keep it in. And I'm going to become lethargic. I'm going to be tired and I'm going to become weary. I'm going to have a lot less energy to do the things that God wants me to do. And people, happens to them spiritually in your own life. If you find that you just find it really tough, you're really struggling, have a look at what's your output. And, well, maybe have a look at your input. If you're starving yourself, you're going to feel pretty weak as well. If you don't go to church, if you don't fellowship, you're not in grow groups, or you're not feeding yourself, I tell you, you're going to feel pretty weak. Just try not eating for, you know, a little while and see what happens. Don't go too long, you'll die. But after a little while, you get nothing coming in, you feel weak. Some people, they don't fellowship, don't go to church, and then they wonder why they struggle, wonder why they feel weak when they're trying to go through the things of life. And even though they've got the power of the Holy Spirit, because they're not feeding themselves. Feed yourself. Okay, feed yourself. Make sure you get to church. Make sure you're feeding yourself in the Word of God. Get in a grow group and learn and grow. Make sure you feed yourself. But don't keep feeding yourself without doing anything. Otherwise, you're just going to keep lum, 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 and you're going to get tired, and you find that you have less energy. I don't know about you on Christmas Day, Christmas lunch. Now, our family have actually moderated now. We actually cut down because we used to have a Christmas lunch, and after Christmas lunches, we're all on the couch. We're gone. We're wasted. We're after the lunch. But really, when you eat food, food's supposed to energize you. It's not supposed to wipe you out. And you know it's the wrong food because when you eat it and you're wiped out, or if you're tired after you eat, it's because you're eating too much. Food brings energy. Too much food brings lethargy, and it'll wipe you out. And that'll happen to us spiritually. If you're always taking in, but if you have a look at your life, I'm not giving out, you're going to become lethargic and you're going to become weary. And you might be, wow, that person's always there. They're at church, but they don't do anything. They don't serve the Lord in any way. They never reach out and touch the life of another. They never show the love of Christ to someone who's hurting. They never share their faith. And so they'll end up becoming lethargic. And you may have wondered, how does this person's been going to church for 20 years, and all of a sudden, look at them now. They're anything but what they profess to be, and they just gave the whole thing away. How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Usually it's because they starve themselves. That's the usual way. Probably 9 times out of 10. But some people just become so lethargic, yeah, I know it all, and I know everything, and they never do anything, and they just become weary, and they wane, and they walk. And that's really, really sad when that happens. So God wants each one of us not to become weary in doing good. Some people become weary because they forget why. They forget why they're doing what they're doing. It's because of what Jesus Christ has made us for, what we're called for, he wants us to do. And everything that we do in serving God is under him. And I just remember when we were doing those brochures even yesterday, and Sarah's there and had quite a big area she was doing. And Sarah, are you okay? And I said, oh, thanks for doing that. And she just went, struggling with her voice, but she went, and she's doing it for the Lord. And that really is the heart. She wasn't really well, but she said, I'm doing this for the Lord. And there's something about doing it for the Lord because it gives you an energy, it sustains you, and I praise God for that. But always remember why you do what you do. We do it to bring glory for God. Why are you taking in that bowl? Is that just so that I feel full and I'm fulfilled and I live a happy life? No, it's so that my life might be one that touches other people. So I encourage you, get the input coming in, but make sure your output is happening as well. Otherwise, you will feel tired and you will feel weary and you'll feel it's winter now. I have to be in my jammies by 2 o'clock in the afternoon and put my little blankie on and my little pillow and my little moccasins on and I'm all snuggled up and then the next day you wake up, it's raining and, oh, it's raining. I'm going to hide under my blankies and you're not going to do anything. So don't allow weather, don't allow circumstances to stop you doing what God wants you to call and being everything that God has made you to be. Don't allow that to happen. And one other area that I think God really wants to remind us and challenge us on is being prayerful. Because if you're prayerless, if your prayer life isn't really there, and you pray on a Sunday, praise God, and you pray on a grow group, praise God, but nothing in between that, prayerlessness leads to lifelessness. And if you're prayerless, if you take an honest stock take and say, yeah, look, and God doesn't tell us these things to condemn us. He's saying, guys, I want you to, I've got this bowl of destiny and purpose. It's there for you. I want you to take it. And yes, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within our life, but part of walking with the Holy Spirit and activating the life of the Holy Spirit within us and walking with God closely is prayer. So important to pray. But some of us, we seem to, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit and we've got the potential and everything God has for us, his plan, his purpose, but we're not praying and somehow it doesn't connect. You know, we've got the fork and we're putting it down and, it's missed again, I don't know whether you've seen those little kid trying to eat for the first time and they can't even find their, where's... And some people are like that. If you stop praying, if you've got prayerlessness in your life, you're going to have that fork going everywhere. You're not going to connect. You're not going to actually grab a hold of it. And you'll get incredibly frustrated. You'll get frustrated in life. And I meet people that are frustrated. I met frustrated Christians. And I would say, in nearly every case that there's an element of prayerlessness in there. And as I said, prayerlessness leads to lifelessness. And God would want us to be people that are praying. We're having a great time. We've been praying every Friday night here. And it's great people are coming along and praying. And I encourage you to do that. Friday night, yeah, good night to be in your jammies watching Hell's Kitchen or whatever's on. But it's a great time to come and pray. Great time. Encourage that. For church, we pray. But in your own prayer time, that's really so important. Don't skip it. Don't think, oh, it's okay. I don't need to do that. We need that. Have that connection in our life. So I believe God really wants to challenge us this morning. He wants to remind us that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And allow God, work with him through prayer and listening to his voice, that we might grab a hold of that purpose and destiny, everything that he has for us, and outlive that and touch the lives of others. And if you're here this morning, and maybe that you're one, you're saying, well, I'm not actually a Christian. Well, look, that's okay. But Lord doesn't condemn you for that, but he invites you this morning and says, don't live your life without the fork. Don't live your life without walking in the purpose and the destiny that I have for you, the very reason that I created you, the only thing in life that will ever fulfill you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, and that's you, you're hungry, and deep down there's this longing and yearning. You can't really explain it. You can't express it, but it's you, and you know it's there. The only thing that ever is going to fulfill that is Jesus Christ. And I encourage you and invite you this morning. We invite people to come forward for prayer. It takes guts to get out of your seat to come and say, look, I need Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want what he did on the cross to actually apply and count for me. And I want to grab a hold of what he has for my life. And maybe that's you this morning. Allow God to touch your life. Allow him to pour his love and grace upon you. Allow him to fulfill you in your life this morning. And if you're one that's been serving and you're doing things and maybe you're struggling and starting to wane a little bit, just remember why you're doing what you're doing. Just remember that, yeah, I've got to give out. If I'm lethargic and I just don't want to do anything anymore or I'm not doing anything anyway, then just make sure that your output matches your input. Feed yourself, grow in God, but be doing stuff. Serve, love people, care for people, reach out, invite people, tell people about the love of Jesus Christ, and be someone that's praying in your life. And then you'll never be one who doesn't know where their fork is. You won't be one who just gets lost. As believers, we're people who don't get lost. We're the found ones. If you're a found one, you're not walking in lostness. You're found. And you know who you are. You know the purpose and plan for God for your life, and you walk in it. So I want us to stand this morning. We're going to pray. And if you just need prayer this morning, and God's been challenging you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, yeah, it takes guts, it takes courage, but just come and say, yeah, look, I want to receive Jesus. I need this. I've got this deep in my heart, and it's something prodding me today. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by the power of his Holy Spirit saying, come. The Lord wants to touch your life. He wants to fill you this morning. And that promise is for you this morning. And I believe God wants to remind every one of us, don't live our lives in our own in our own flesh, in our own weaknesses. Let's live in the power of God that has risen, that is resonant within us. That we're not going to be overcome. We won't be overwhelmed. But we're going to come through by the power of the Holy Spirit who motivates us, who energizes us and keeps us going. So, Father, I just pray for us now. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we'll never be a people, Lord, that are saying, where's my fork, Lord, I don't know. Lord, let us know, Lord, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within our life this morning. Father, let us be ones that are determined, Lord, that we're going to partake of everything that you've set before us, the plan for our life, the destiny of our life, the purpose of our life, to make a difference, to make an imprint, Lord, on eternity, Father. That's the people that we want to be. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for anyone who's here this morning, Lord, that maybe is hungry, maybe realizes there's a bowl somewhere, but doesn't know how to access that, Lord. I pray, Lord, let them, the first point of coming to Jesus Christ, give them the courage and boldness to say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I just want to give my life to Jesus. Father, give them the courage and the strength to do that. They might not understand it all. Might not know exactly what all that means. But Lord, they just know that they need to respond. Lord, give them the courage this morning to come to you. So Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your presence upon us. I'm just going to be here. If you want prayer this morning, God's convicting you, touch your life. I'd love to pray with you this morning. I want to give your life to Christ. I'd love to pray with you this morning. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to close after we sing that through. But if you want prayer, we'll be here and would love to pray with you this morning. Let's sing together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.